Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the 8th canto, 16th chapter, 11th verse. Is that correct? One time I studied the wrong verse. Someone said there's no such thing as a wrong verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. They're all correct. But there may be one appropriate for that day. So, let's see here. Okay. Shri Adityar Uvacha Uvacha Chuijam Gavam Brahmanam Dharmasyasya Dharmasyasya Janasya Janasya Sri Sha Vargas Sri Ya Vargas Padam Chaitaram Kriyamedim Kriyameha Ime Ime Sri Adityar Uvacha Sri Adityar Uvacha Patram Kritrijagavam Brahman Kritrijagavam Brahman Dharmasyasya Janasya Dharmasyasya Janasya Cha Savargasya Param Savargasya Param Kshetram Griha Medim Griha Ime Griha Medim Griha Ime Sri Adityar Uvacha Sri Adityar Uvacha Padram Dvijagavam Brahman Padram Dvijagavam Brahman Dharmasyasya Janasya Dharmasyasya Janasya Cha Trivargasya Param Trivargasya Param Chaitram Griha Medim Griha Ime Sri Adityar Uvacha Badram Trijagavam Brahman Dharmasyasya Janasya Cha Trivargasya Param Chaitam Griha Medim Griha Ime.
Repeat.
Ladies, Vaishnavis, all right, are we done there? Word for word, Sri Aditi Uvacha, Srimati Aditi said, Bhadram, all auspiciousness, Dvijagavam, of the Brahmins and the cows. Brahman, O Brahmana, Dharmasya Asya, of the religious principles mentioned in Shastra. Janasya, of the people in general. Cha, and Trivargasya, of the three processes of elevation. Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Param, the supreme. Kshetram, field. Kriyamedim, O my husband, who are attached to household life. Griha, your home. Ime, all these things. Translation. Before I forget, if anyone has a cell phone, can they find the off button? Because we find that if the phone is going off, it is harder for me to concentrate. Plus, if you are listening, hoping to find something from here, then Krishna will give me the ability to say something. But if you don't have interest, then Krishna will not supply me this ability. And it will make a fool of myself, and I don't need to do that. But if Krishna wants that, that's okay too. Okay, translation. Aditi said, O my respected Brahmin husband, all is well with the Brahmins, the cows, religion, and the welfare of other people. O master of the house, the three principles of Dharma, Artha, and Kama flourish in household life, which is consequently full of good fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In household life, one can develop the three principles of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, according to the regulations given in the Shastras. But to attain liberation, one must give up household life and place himself in the transcendental renounced order. Kasyapa Muni was not in the renounced order of life. Therefore, he is addressed here once as a Brahmin, another time as Grihamedim. Aditi, his wife, assured him that as far as household life was concerned, everything was going nicely, and the Brahmins and cows were being honored and protected. In other words, there were no disturbances. Household life was duly progressing. Om Ajnana Timranya Sagana Gana Salakaya Chaksurin Milatan Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we find that many people progress in spiritual life by entering into the Grihastha Ashram and following the principles of Dharma, Kama, Artha, Moksha. Some people become renounced, and Prabhupada is suggesting that people progress to the renounced order of life. Some people come to the temple on a regular basis and become congregation members. Other people come just once in a while, once, twice a week, once, twice a month. Other people just visit. Now, which one of these groups is the temple for? Is it for the renunciates, the householders, the people who visit regularly, the guests, or E, all of the above? All of the above. That's what we have to do, is simultaneously create a situation where people can create spiritual advancement within household life, where they can come to see the deity and they can become spiritually connected while they are here at the temple and learn how to be spiritually connected when they are at home. So it is for all these groups of people. And this is when we have a good balance. If a temple is just for renunciates and they are not very accommodating to guests, you don't have a big crowd. But if you lower the standard and nobody is following very strictly, even if you have a big crowd, something is missing. It's like if you open the school, which is important, the first grade, the fourth grade, the sixth grade, or the college. You need all of them, don't you? Sometimes we forget this. In the beginning, Prabhupada said that he just introduced the chanting for people. He didn't introduce all the regulations for them. So once we come to initiation, we have regulations and things we follow, yes? So does that mean we make the people who first come in the door start there? Or should they start where we started? Yes? It doesn't mean that just because you have moved to higher grades in school that you close the first grade and not have it available anymore. So we have to be available for all of these kinds of people. As Prabhupada says in a purport in Bhagavad Gita, it is a long road from the beginning of Karma Yoga to the end of Bhakti Yoga. So in the ultimate end, we want people to surrender everything to Krishna. But we also need to know where to get people started and how to make them progress on a regular basis. So to progress on a regular basis, we have regular programs. It's not like we have an artik 2 or 3 days a month, but we're not sure which days. Last week it was on Wednesday. This time you come on Wednesday, oh no, temple is closed this Wednesday. Next Friday we have program. It is available always at the same time. So people can plan when to come. Yes? That is why Prabhupada pushed so hard to get these temples opened. Because in America, we like to dilly-dally around and do things later. And India is worse, yes? It's just like someone tells you, they say, Abhya Ega. And according to dictionary, that means I am just now coming. But that isn't what they mean when they say it, yes? It means I'm just now coming after I finish something, before I stop on the way. Like in the Spanish, they have the idea, muy rápido, very quickly. But that concept isn't here unless you push the idea. Prabhupada struggled so hard to get the temples open, like Mumbai and Vrindavan. When I went to Mayapur in 1972, Prabhupada arrived and stayed in the building that was there, the little thatched hut, and very quickly he had us lay the cornerstone so that we would get the idea started. And we're still trying to finish that temple of the Vedic Planetarium. So what is important here? To worry about our own spiritual life? To create a situation for congregation? Or for the guests who come? Or to help build the temple of the Vedic Planetarium? Or is it also E, all of the above? Because as we see here, one of the things that's important in our own spiritual life is to create something for the welfare of all people. This means that when you are talking to people, you are considering their welfare. That we create a temple, not just a place for us to go. We could chant under a tree, but so many people will not come to a tree. So we create the temple to simultaneously worship the deities. I got to worship these deities in 1971. I got to do the artik when they were dropping bombs in the ocean near us. You don't forget that kind of thing when you see bombs coming down and exploding and going, Jayo, Jaya Gor. You don't forget this kind of thing. You know, we had difficulties. Before this temple, we were at the Akash Ganga building. And we couldn't be out at nighttime because the war was going on. And at nighttime, if someone turned on one light, you would hear 1,000 people scream, Bunkaro, Bunkaro. Because if the plane is coming to drop a bomb and the whole city is dark, but there is a light in your building, that's where they'll drop the bomb. So there was danger then, yes, that they could bomb Mumbai. And that seemed to be a great danger, because actually when they were shooting the tracer bullets into the air, the shells came down and killed 20 people. So that was a dangerous day, right? And now there's no more dangers in India. Right? Is that true? Because 20 people died that day from the shells coming down and hitting people. But now you don't have any dangers. Is that true? No. Because the evidence that sometimes things are so many dangers that people forget they exist. You know how many people they kill with cars every day in India? About 420. That's 21 times as many as were killed by the shells. But it happens so often that people don't even think about it. They told me some people go in India to get a proper test, to follow the rules. Other people pay a bribe. And some people just get in a car and drive it without having any idea. Is it true? Yes? So we find that just crossing the street here is more dangerous than it was during that war. But it happens so often, people don't even think about it. And then it's bad enough. People already don't care about traffic laws. They already don't know how to drive. And then they add alcohol to the equation. Does that make things better? They say it doesn't matter how bad a situation is. No matter how bad it is, there's no situation that alcohol will not make it worse. They are thinking that if I add alcohol, it will make it better. But it always makes it worse. The trouble when it comes to the driving is it not only makes it worse for them, but they become a danger to everyone else. So we are thinking the opposite way. Not how can I become a danger to everyone else, but how can I think of everybody else's spiritual welfare? And a lot of this spiritual welfare is that we have to improve our own consciousness. They even say this in sales, that 90% is improving your own character. That if you become a better person, people will become interested in what you have to sell. I remember at Calcutta once, one man came, he looked in very bad shape. And he says, you want to buy morphine? I said, do you take this morphine? He says, yes. I said, you don't look like you're doing very well. Maybe I shouldn't get it. Now, sometimes we have to let people know that they need to make a change in life because their situation is so bad that they are obviously showing that this is not a good idea. My mother said she walked into the chocolate shop and there was one woman, big, huge woman. She says, maybe I shouldn't get that. So if we are selling the literatures and I'm in a miserable mood. I'm unhappy. You want to buy my books? And by the way, I hate you too. Will they want to buy? Once in Vrindavan, I told Vaisheshika, all these people seem to love you. He says, well, because I love them. So if we are distributing books because we care about people, they will be more inclined to take them than just because we want to sell something or we want my name on the top of the charts. We could give things away, but if we give them away, they won't take them as serious. But if you convince people that buying this book is worthwhile, then they will be convinced that reading it is worthwhile. You may take anything for free, but if you have to buy it, it must be worth reading. That is why in the old days, when they would make up stories that this book is about George Harrison and the Apple Records, or it's about surfing, you'd find the book in the trash can. Because if you tell them it's about something else, they may not be interested. But it's easier to sell it as what it is. It's easier to sell this as a book than to tell people this is a guitar and you can play music with it, isn't it? It's easier to present things as they actually are. So we have to develop our own proper mentality. And by doing that, we will convince people that these books will be good for them. It depends how we see people. If we're in the mode of ignorance, we'll start from the mode of goodness because it's the best. If I'm in the mode of goodness, or you are, you see that everybody has a same common spiritual thread. That we are all leaves on the same tree. Some of the leaves are newer leaves. Some are older. Okay, I'm an older leaf now. I used to be a younger leaf. Every year I find more people younger than me. I used to be the youngest one in the room. Now I'm not. But we are all leaves on the same tree. We don't divide them between which leaves come from Gujarat, which leaves are Marathi people, which leaves come from America. That is why we noticed that when they were having some trouble in Mayapur, that when Jai Pataka Swami and Gopal Krishna Swami are talking, they don't call the people from outside India foreigners, they call them Westerners. Because we may all be foreigners to this world. But if we are trying to look for the same common spiritual thread, then we see everyone as the same. Otherwise, you say, don't talk to me, you're a Gujarati. Or you're from Mumbai Central, and I'm from Borivali, so don't talk to me. We can divide people up by all kinds of things. This is the Rajagun, the mode of passion, is that we see different kinds of people. That, oh, those people are foreigners. Those people come from America. Those are Africans. Those are darker people. And which ones are Indians, lighter or darker? Which ones? Both, you find some Indians are so light, they're lighter than I am. You find some Indians, particularly in South India, that are darker than the African people. So you can't say the Indians are either light or dark, right? But do we divide them that way? Do we put the dark ones here, medium ones here, light ones there? This is the way they expected it to be done in South Africa, was that whites were one group, Indians were another group, and blacks are another group. And it was illegal to mix these people. And in South Africa, I did this, and I got arrested for this. I was seen just like today. I didn't have as much chance to prepare for a class. I was asked to give a class. And when we give a class, it gives us an opportunity to depend on Krishna. When I was in South Africa, one time the government officials wanted to throw me out the 13-story window. Another time the thieves had the gun at my head and they were arguing about whether to shoot me or not. Now these are opportunities to surrender to Krishna. And that makes them good, right? That's why every day you pray, please Krishna, put me in great danger so that I can depend on you. Who prays like this? We don't pray for this. But if it comes, we shouldn't resent it. We think that, you know, I have a way to progress in spiritual life. And sometimes Krishna gets it right. And sometimes Krishna makes a mistake. This is what we are thinking. Like we are going to the light, and sometimes it's correct because it's green when I get there. And sometimes it's incorrect because the light turns red. Is this a mistake? No. The problem is we think that we are the controller and we are the center. And we are judging everybody based on our material condition. But we should realize that there are no mistakes in Krishna's world. Krishna makes it, sometimes we find as devotees, sometimes he makes it very easy, sometimes he makes it very difficult. In all of it, difficulties can come for anyone, yes? Which kind of person does not have money problems? Do you know anyone who doesn't have money problems? Which brothers in India are probably more worried about money than anyone else? Which ones? Yeah, like the Ambani brothers. They are worried more about it because they have businesses to perform, businesses can do well, and they are more worried. And stock values can go up and down. You wonder what people are worth. You have to check everything. And it's true for people. It's like when Ambarish wanted to get the project going in Mayapur. He put about $30 million in. Now, with stocks in America, you can borrow half the value. But if the value goes down, you have to come up with the rest of the money to make it only half. So if he borrowed $30 million, that means he must have had $60 million in stock. But now if the value goes down to one-third, now that value of the $60 million goes down to $20. Now he has to sell that stock to pay the debt, and he's $10 million behind. So very quickly, you can go from being $60 million ahead to $10 million behind. It's possible for this to happen. Now, the only time you take this kind of risk with a loan is to do the project for Mayapur and to make sure that it's well secured. This is why the Ishopanishad says that we have to culture knowledge and ignorance side by side. That it's more important to figure out how not to lose money than it is to gain money. I remember in Europe when Bhagavan was in charge of temples there, what he did is he would borrow money from one and create another and borrow money, and everything was in great debt, but it looked like good. You put the temple in debt and build another building, it looks like you're doing good, but you're in big debt. So today we have leaders that analyze this carefully. Brajahari was telling me that one bank says, oh, we will give you a loan, and the first year it will be no interest, and then the second year it will come at the going rate. And that's good, because the first year there's no interest, right? But then the second year you pay the going rate and you do that. So he realized this wasn't a good thing to have. It's much better not to have that risk. Because if the loan goes to something bigger and you can't handle it. So we have to do this spiritually. We have to realize when to take a risk and when not to take a risk. And when to create things. Like fortunately at this temple, we have the devotional things like book distribution. And you teach people how to chant one round. And you have many people from the neighborhood who just come and visit. Because these, of course, are your main people. We can't have buses come from Arunachal Pradesh and from Tamil Nadu and from Nagaland and from Bihar. And we want to get people who live close by and they can walk to here because it's easier for them to get here. But fortunately, the temple has done something good. They've done many things good, but we have the businesses like guest house, restaurant, the halls for people to rent for marriages and other things. And these are businesses that bring money into the temple separate from the donations. And at the same time, it brings people close to the temple because they come to the temple to do the wedding ceremony. They come to eat prasadam at the restaurant and they come to the guest house. The most logical thing is to come visit the temple. But these create income that are separate from just donations. So it's connected to Krishna, and it's another way to bring in income for Krishna's service. And so we have to think about how to get different kinds of people engaged in devotional service, like the levels here Yes, we want to be able to renounce and teach people to become renunciates. But if we also have people who become good householders. You see, in the Christian tradition, the Pope is supposed to be a celibate monk. But in the year 1500, the Pope had illegitimate children. He's supposed to be like a Swami, but he had children. Then he wanted his daughter's husband killed so he could become involved with the daughter. Because all the Catholic priests were supposed to be unmarried. But they did a few wrong things. So the Protestant Christians decided that all priests should be married. Here we have a priest can be a brahmachari, right? And a brahmachari can get married later. A priest can be a householder or he can be a sannyasi. It isn't confined to just one group. But we have to take in all of these groups as an account. Because if only preachers are unmarried and they can't get married, some of them may develop problems. If they can become married and do this honestly, this is better than as some of them did by molesting children on the side and trying to keep this a secret. This is why in our society, what they do is if somebody had trouble, they have to go to the archdiocese head and complain. In ISKCON, it doesn't work that way. We have a separate child protection service, which is separate from the GBC and the temple management. And the people go and talk to them. We've created a situation where this can help out by admitting that there may be some mistakes and that we progress from there. We find that no matter what stage we are at, we could have done worse and we could have done better. So no matter what stage we're at, we want to progress more. This is why Lord Rama says that the person who says, from this day forward, I am yours, and asks me for the courage to surrender to him. Because every day we are at the chance to either engage in Maya or engage in Krishna's service. This is something that we need to do no matter what stage of life we're at. Krishna teaches us in Bhagavad Gita, there are four kinds of people who surrender to me. One kind is in looking for knowledge of the absolute truth. Someone else is inquisitive. Someone else is in distress. Someone else is in need of money. But if the point is to surrender to Krishna, why do we study these four kinds? Why don't we just tell people to surrender to Krishna? Does anyone know why we study them? Yes. It's perfect. If we don't know their inclination, how do we engage them in service? Like Prabhupada says, if you're sick, you can go to the medical store and the medicine you need is there. You say, I'm sick, I need medicine, and they just give you medicine. Sometimes they do this, but this isn't the proper way, right? First, Prabhupada says you go to the doctor, he finds out what the disease is. Because if you're going to involve someone in Krishna consciousness, you need to know whether they're coming from distress or if they're in search of knowledge of the absolute truth. Someone shows up in a nice car with a beautiful wife and says, no matter what I have, I want to develop something more love in Krishna. And you tell them it's all just suffering. No, you have to understand about them. This is why quite often in preaching or book distribution, we ask questions of the people to find out. When Vaisheshika is distributing books, he first says, are you from Mumbai or are you visiting from somewhere else? You want to find out something about this person. You want to make some kind of friendship with them to engage them in devotional service. You want to do, as we do in the Bhakti Vriksha groups, people want to know how much you care before they care how much you know. Imagine I tell you, you know, you seem to be having a difficulty. Let's look in the Bhagavatam and the Gita, see if we can find some solution for you. Or I say, you know, I was going through the same difficulty, and let me show you something that worked for me. is that better? Or I say, I've been a devotee for so many years and I know what you need to hear and you don't, so you should shut up and listen to me. Is that a good approach? It may not be a good approach, right? Right? You know, you don't tell people, get out of the street right now. Although if they do, I figure there's a reason. We always have to be willing to take instruction from others, because maybe they're telling us something we need to hear. I was out at the Madhuvan, and one devotee came around the corner and said, get out of the street right now. So I didn't tell him, you're a child, I'm a Prabhupada disciple, why are you instructing me? I got out of the street. 3 seconds later, a bull comes around the corner carrying a cart, and it covers the whole road, and he's running fast. I would have been run over. So we shouldn't think ourselves so great that we can't take instruction for someone. If he's telling me, get out of the street now or get on the ground, it's probably good to listen and find out why later. We have to realize that maybe someone else knows something we don't. As soon as we think we know everything, we're in more trouble. Right? We have to always realize that with many things we don't know, especially about other people. Arjuna asked this question to Krishna. He says, we are reading about the kshetra here, the field. What is the kshetra, the field of activities? And who is the knower? And Krishna says, your mind and your body are your field of activities, and you are the knower of that. And only I am the knower of other fields. So we have to be available to give Krishna consciousness to people. And not disqualify. Sometimes when people are distressed, they may make advancement more rapidly than someone that says, well, I have my wife, I have my job, sometimes I watch TV, sometimes I drink some wine, and sometimes I go to the temple to see the deity, right? The other person is drinking so much alcohol, he says, boy, I need a solution to this. I need to change something now. That person may actually advance more quickly because he may be willing to surrender. Correct? Because he's forced to. So we shouldn't just judge by people seem to have comfortable situation. When people have problems, they may need it even more because they really need it. So we have to understand that we are there for the people from all the fields of activity, and to make it available. Like when you go to the restaurant, they have a menu. Quite often they have the buffet, but when you walk in, they don't say, you eat this, you eat that, right? You go to the buffet and you pick which things. So at the temple, we have things for people to pick. They can become a brahmachari and live in the temple. They can become a grahastra, get initiated, chant 16 rounds, and come every day. They can come once in a while. They can learn how to chant one round. But the idea is we don't think ourselves so great that we are the powerhouse, or they are so bad that they cannot connect to the powerhouse. We have to learn how to plug in, just like this microphone. It is plugged in, yes? Now, do I need to be an electrical engineer to plug it in? I just have to find the plug. And if I connect to the powerhouse, it will work. So the same way, we have to connect, plug ourselves in to the powerhouse of Krishna. Does someone know what the plug looks like? Who has a plug? What does the plug look like? He's going to show you a plug right now. Take the plug out, show it to them. See? Now you connect one end of this to Krishna, the other to your mind, and you chant the mantra. And you allow Krishna in. Just like here, you plug in and you allow the electricity to come in. If you say, I am so great, I have studied electricity, I don't even need to plug it in. Microphone will work? Because I am an electrical engineer? No, it won't work. So we have to think with others, no matter how little they've done, they are doing something. And we have to encourage them. And no matter how much we are doing, there's someone who is doing more. So we have to keep both of these ideas in tension. While we are trying to increase and help some people increase, others were just happy they're doing a little. In South India, in 1979, in Bangalore, I was there trying to help out with some of the life members. This was before Madhu Pandit even came there. And Jai Pataka Swami came to stay at one of his disciples' houses. And the disciple had a list of things that he wanted from the guru. And I said, how do you reconcile it that he seems to want to take more things from the guru than give? And Jai Pataka Swami said, sometimes we have to think, like when the Swami went to the door of the Kripana, he put out his dhoti and the Kripana threw coal in his cloth. And the Swami said, thank you so much. The Kripana said, how can you thank me? I threw coal in your cloth. And the Swami said, because you are such a Kripana, such a miser, that it doesn't matter what you give. Any giving at all is good. So people may come here and they're involved in material life. If they just come and listen, or they just take a book home with them, then that is good. At the same time, we want to be able to get people involved more and more and more. And what is amazing is how some places take off, and even when other places were doing very well, they seem to surpass them and do more. I remember in the early days, you know, Juhu was taking off and things were going on and you have people coming and congregation. And Delhi had this little house in Lajpat Nagar. Now how many temples are there in Delhi? You know, there's so many that I get a different count everywhere. It's like more than 12 and less than 18, because it depends what counts. But now they seem to have so many temples there. And for so many years, Mumbai was way ahead in book distribution. I think this year, they said that Juhu did a huge amount of books. Maybe 1.6 lakhs, 160,000 Gitas. That's a lot of books, isn't it? But you know, they did about 100,000 more of that in Punjabi Bagh. They did about 260,000. And in east of Kailash, they did more than 4 lakhs. They seem to have so many congregation people involved and so many temples. I must study what they've done. And I'm sure they would not try to keep it a secret. You know, they like to make many devotees happy. Although they made Mayapur cry last year when they were the top in the world instead of Mayapur. But somehow, they've been able to develop a huge congregation of people. There are so many people out there distributing books that we have to find out what it is they are doing. That even though Mumbai was way ahead in that, somehow, and you have big congregation here, and so many people come, somehow they even have more congregation. What is it that they have done there? Some sort of magic happened, or what happened? Does anyone have an idea? What we're willing to do with each other is we always share our ideas to see what it is that has worked in the different places. But what we have to understand is here, it is good that we have our own spiritual life we take care of. We have congregation people, and we help people for the first time to chant. And we also have a booth to help out the temple of the Vedic Planetarium. So to be a progressive temple, we have to have all of these things available, where we help out our joint venture project, which is the temple of the Vedic Planetarium, where we help ourselves, but we also make friends with people in the neighborhood. So many people in this neighborhood. I see people here who are here when I was here last year, because we build a brahmacharya ashram for people to come and live. But so many people have built their own ashrams that they can come and live here. So maybe we need to meet more people in the neighborhood and convince them to come by more often. It happens automatically, but when we meet people in the street, we get their name and introduce themselves and ask them to come by for the evening artik. Now, which evening do we have artik? Every evening. So it doesn't matter when they're free, because you can invite people to a Sunday program. Maybe they're busy on Sunday. But we have something for everyone. We have a Sunday program every Sunday. We have other programs that are available every day. And quite often it's good to create an urgency program. Like now we have this program that's going from the 13th to the 16th. If you tell people about Sunday, they can always come later. That's good that we have something that's available all the time, but people think they can always do it later. So then we have a program like this one, the 40-year reunion. You can only get that from the 13th to the 16th. There isn't going to be another one. Well, we'll have one in 50 years, but that's a while to wait. So that is like, hey, we're having a special program. This is the one you need to come to. So maybe we could put some flyers out to some of the people who live close by, or just tell them about it, point it out, even just ask them, because it's easy for them to get here. They don't have to take a plane or a train or a car. They can just walk across the street. So this is our natural congregation, the people who are living close by. And maybe from this four-day festival, we'll discover what Delhi has done to increase their congregation, and we can do the same here. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Guruji. In between, you were mentioning that every day we can make the situation good or we can make the situation worse. And
yes.
Then you were mentioning that when Lord Ram says, when we surrender and we say that from this day onwards, I am yours.
Yes.
But then that happens too often. I pray today, and then again after a few months, few years, I land up in a similar situation where I make the things worse for me myself. So.
Well, no matter where we are, if we've done very badly, the solution is to surrender more. And even if yesterday was a good day, we still wake up, start the day by paying our obeisances to the spiritual master, and then get up and shower, and then set our intention, and still re-surrender to Krishna. We can use either one as an excuse. I've done so poorly, there's no use in trying to surrender. Or I've already done so well that I don't need to do any more. Yesterday I ate so nicely, I don't need to eat all week, correct? Is that it? Or here's the other one. Is yesterday I did such a good job of breathing, and I've been breathing for so many years, I can skip a day, right? Just one, right? Is that okay? Can you? You can, but not without brain damage. So the same way is that each day we start new. And just like the person who delivers the mail, he doesn't think, I'm so bad I can't deliver the mail, or I'm so great I don't need to deliver the mail. If his job is to deliver mail, he should deliver the mail, no matter how bad or great he thinks he is. So if we have a service, we do our service, and no matter how bad or good we are, we try to improve. We don't think, oh, okay, I surrender easier than others, I don't need to do it now. Or, I've had more difficulty than others, I give up. It's a process, isn't it? A child learns to walk. If he stands up and walks, he doesn't quit. And if he stumbles, he keeps trying it. So, no matter where we are, we try to improve from that condition. We don't think, oh, I've had trouble surrendering, so I just give up. We try to sincerely do it, because Prabhupada says if one's not against the principle of surrender, it comes about. So if someone's struggling but makes a sincere endeavor, that's different than someone who tries to use an excuse. Because no matter where we're at, we can always improve. You know, we don't put up on the wall, I'm a devotee, and that's it, right? Like I say, I'm a member of Laguna Beach High School. I am wearing the high school colors, but I don't think about it. Maroon and white are the colors, but I think about being a devotee and how I can improve that every day. Where you don't think how you can improve which high school or college or alumni of, how you can improve that on a daily basis. So wherever we're at, we try to improve. We try to plug in, and when we're chanting, we think about the chanting. And then we do something else later. Like we might use the computer, but not while we're chanting. So wherever we're at, we make a sincere effort. We try to do it sincerely, even if there are some difficulties. But we don't try to create difficulties for ourselves, because obviously that would make it harder. But whether it's harder or easier, we should still want to do it. So shall we end there? Hare Krishna.